This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to an all-new episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're here. I'm Travis, and sitting across from Brizzalicious.
That's right. To the disappointment of Polykill fans everywhere, Jake is still not here.
It is crazy how our downloads were down 40% just because he wasn't here. He carries the show. He's the baritone wonder.
Yeah.
Or he does most of the listening to the show as well, and he hasn't had time to listen since he's been gone.
Well, hopefully you guys can recover during next episode when I'm not here anymore.
Hey, we'll bring you back. But yeah, so that's Briz. Briz, you went on a bit of a trip, you and Jake. Jake's been in Texas, and you went down to Florida. And I was just here in Virginia by myself wondering if there was going to be a future to this show.
Yep.
Everybody had left me. But how was your trip?
It was good. We went to Disney World, and my family is a Disney family. We go like once or twice a year. But this trip was special. It was so my middle son, 7 years old, could go play in a 3v3 soccer tournament, and they won the whole damn thing.
Was it hit, like two friends of his from here as well?
Like yes.
These are his buddies?
Yeah, these are kids that he plays soccer, like rec soccer with around here. They got four kids from the local team together to go do this 3-on-3 tournament.
So he's already one of the best kids here. Obviously, he was handpicked to go to a tournament in Florida.
Well, it was, I think you just like registered and paid.
If your family could afford to go.
Yeah, I don't know that there were like invitations to this thing.
That's still cool, though. He'll never forget that. That's great.
Yeah, he got like a nice big trophy, and they did a whole little ceremony where they get up on stage and announce the team name, and everybody cheers for him and stuff. So,
well, that's good. So that was your 25th trip to Disney, and it was special.
Yep.
Well, that's good. Good to hear. If you're new to the show, we talk mainly about beating video games, or at least I do. The other guys on the show talk about whatever, Overwatch and
Fallout,
Hearthstone, and other bullshit. But I talk about beating the games, the reason the show was invented in the first place. Also, I have another YouTube channel called Nest Friend. I release some stuff there. It's all NES games. It's all that stuff. There's a new video every Wednesday until I stop doing it. And when I get burnout, which could be soon, who knows.
Yeah, so far, so good. Those videos have great music.
Yes. Brian, you did make all the music. And it is very enjoyable. I really like a lot of those tracks. I try to get as many in as I can. All right. So Jake is still down in Tall Mexico, which is what I'm calling Texas now, real Tall Mexico. It's like Mexico's hat.
Yeah, that's probably the one I would have gone with.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
It works.
And he has sent us, communication with Jake has been sparse, to say the least. He's very busy down there, but he's also in a very remote part of Texas. In fact, he sent me a Snapchat when he got phone signal the other day of a tumbleweed. No lie, just a tumbleweed blowing down through the desert.
Yeah.
Just to give me an idea of how remote he was. I always thought that was a cartoon thing. I didn't realize tumbleweeds really just run around. But he caught a glimpse of one, and he sent us a few transmissions here. And we'll go through and tell you what Jake's time has been like. He sent one message that told me, he says, a local woman informed me, this is Jake speaking, a local woman informed me that John F. Kennedy Jr. is alive, despite the government having shot down his plane. He has assumed the alias, quote-unquote, Q, and is currently hiding in the White House broadcasting, quote-unquote, deep state secrets to keep the public informed. And she also said that I looked like Bradley Cooper.
Well, you know she can be trusted.
Yes. she was pretty, I was with her up until the Bradley Cooper. I'll say that.
Oh.
Yeah. I just don't see it.
No, I hear you.
Jake's way more handsome.
Oh, nice recovery.
Yeah.
That's a real friend right there.
Now, well, he sent you a couple messages too.
Yeah, the first one I got, he said, I have learned that the DOD is testing directed high heat laser beams in California, and this is the cause for at least 140 of the 160 wildfires currently burning in that state.
Wow. What kind of people is he hanging out with down there, giving him all these Illuminati conspiracy theories?
I don't know, but I kind of want whatever he's drinking. It sounds pretty fun.
Is it sarsaparilla?
It's got to be.
You got to wonder. He also sent me one the other day. He says, today I had to shoo away a group of wild boars from the locked iron gate that leads to the research facility. They looked at me as if they didn't care about my Oscar-nominated performance in Silver Linings Playbook and A Star is Born, and just kept grunting and grazing. So he's really, he likes the fact that this lady thinks he looked like Bradley Cooper, and he's been hanging on to that.
Yeah, it sounds like he's taken to that persona, and he's just like living out some kind of movie star dream in Texas.
I mean, these are actual messages from Jake. We did not make this up. So.
Yeah.
I mean,
straight from the horse's mouth, the horchacho.
Straight from the horchacho's mouth, chacho.
Well, he sent me one. He said, I'm now convinced that there is enough evidence to support the existence of Bigfoot, Mothman, and Men in Black. There is no way cultures from around the world would all agree on these things without there being some kind of truth to them. Q has been opening my eyes to how blind I've been.
See, Q's back. And, you know, this whole deep state thing. He thinks he's Bradley Cooper. I'm a little worried about him, to be quite frank.
Being away from, I guess, his home base and all the people he knows, he's starting to lose it.
He's the kind of guy that will just envelop into a group of people. So if he hangs around a bunch of conspiracy theorists, he'll come out and he'll be the best conspiracy theorist of that bunch.
He's probably going to start a podcast about it.
Oh, God. Competition's the last thing we need. He sent me some normal stuff. He sent me one that just said he's seen exactly 4 drops of rain in the past 2 weeks, so it's very dry. They say Texas is a dry heat. Of course, tumbleweeds. I don't know. Have you ever seen a wet tumbleweed? I just imagine they're all dry.
Yeah, I don't think that exists.
Actually, I think the reason tumbleweeds are always moving is they're running from the rain. If you see a tumbleweed running, go with it. You're going to get rained on.
All right. Well, speaking of tumbleweeds, he sent me a message that said, tumbleweeds are real and they hate what you think of them.
Well, so maybe that's why they're running. You see, maybe that's why they're always running away.
What? I'm not even sure what I do think about tumbleweeds. Maybe it's the fact that I don't think about tumbleweeds that they're upset with.
They're offended by that and they run away. I just imagine them wet, which is normal. He also said, last one here, he says, it smells like sulfur. And there's fires on the horizon. The coyotes howling yip all night, and the tap water is salty. So he's having fun, it sounds like.
Yeah, he's enjoying his time in tall Mexico.
Tall Mexico, big old hat Mexico, which is also Tejas.
Hopefully, you know, he conforms back to normal Jake when he comes back.
I think he'll shapeshift. I think he'll be back and be good.
He's going to show up in a cowboy hat.
I hope.
And boots.
Oh, my God. If he showed up and he was just wearing some tight, just uncomfortably tight Wranglers, like you could tell he wasn't comfortable in them, with a giant belt buckle and a hat with something sticking out of the corner of his mouth, I would be so happy.
He's going to walk up in here and be like, sure.
Sure. Yeah, that'll be fun. All right, well, let's get into what we actually do here, which is talk about video games. Let's start with some pickups. I finally got on the import train. I've been staying away from imported stuff for a long time because I have a hard enough time getting the stuff that was released in my own country.
Yep.
But I got a hankering for a Famicom. You know, the Japanese Nintendo, you might say.
Right.
And my buddy, my game shop buddy, said he had one, and I expected it to just be a loose old Famicom, probably had some, sticky stuff on it from, I don't know. I just expected it to be a rough-looking Famicom, but it's an M-Box in the Styrofoam.
Damn.
Some plastic sleeves in there, you know, good-looking. Still a little sticky in spots, but Famicom. And I got 4 games off the shelf. To go with the price, just because I actually stayed around the store and helped out. I sucked up
Look
a little
at you.
Bit.
Yeah. That's how you get him to call you first, right?
Yes, exactly. Well, that is the secret. See, I'd gone in there for a while, and I love John, but he gets bombarded. And he's a one-man crew. And while I was there, he had 3 trade-ins. So I would be talking to him. People would come in with just a bin of stuff. And so he never really has time to put this stuff away. So that's what I helped with. I cleaned off the counter and put some stuff on shelves. And
that's
it's actually
a good man.
Kind of cathartic, to be quite honest. But it also got me a good deal on a Famicom.
Now, I heard, or I saw you and Tim talking about it in the little chat we have, and it sounded like you need some modifications for this thing?
Well, you don't. You need modifications to it if you want to be, if you want to put it on like a PVM or that kind of thing.
Okay. So you could just plug it into a CRT and play.
That's what I did. Yeah. Okay. It just has, you can use the coax to plug it in old school. There are modifications you can make, but I'm not skilled enough to do it on my own. But I'm happy with what I got. I mean, it looks good. It plays good. I just wanted to... Honestly, I don't read enough Japanese to get deep into the library, but it's a cool thing to have, especially boxed. It's cool.
That's awesome.
Won't you take the next one, and then I'll take the last one.
All right. I picked up by default, I guess, Life is Strange 2, Episode 2. When this game first came out, I bought the season pass or whatever, where you get all the episodes, because I love these games, and I knew I was going to play it anyway. So that came out a couple of days ago, and so I'm considering that a pickup, even though I actually paid for it last year at some point. I have not played it yet. But on the last episode, we were talking about this, and I recommended to you that you did not need to play Captain Spirit before playing this game.
I know, like some kind of asshole.
Well, I played the first episode, and there was nothing in there
but you
about
like,
Captain Spirit.
That didn't connect, right.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I don't see the connection. It seems like maybe it was just a...
same universe kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I read an article on Kotaku or something the other day that was like, you should definitely play Captain Spirit before you play Episode 2. So for any listeners that hadn't heard of that, you should do that.
Right.
Captain Spirit.
Definitely get in on some of that Captain Spirit, which it was free, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Well, you know, you should be playing it.
And it's not very long. It's a couple hours, two or three hours maybe.
Yeah. Worth free for sure.
Yeah.
Well, the one that we talked about last time, we talked about a big game coming out. It's big for us. We play a lot of horror games together, and it's sort of all we play together. We don't even consider playing anything else. There's never been a time where it's like, you want to come over and play some Mario? Never.
Well,
a time.
We have played Tomb Raider.
Which is creepy. There was some creepy parts
of
that game.
That's true.
A little creepy. I'm talking about old school Tomb Raider. The new Tomb Raiders are just, they're not creepy, but the old ones kind of had this vibe about it. But anyway, Resident Evil 2, and I pre-order so infrequently that I had forgotten that I did it. And I'm pretty sure this was one of the pre-orders I got when Best Buy was doing something, or maybe somebody was, I don't know, it was Amazon was stopping their pre-order bonus deal. Remember that?
Right, yeah.
And so everybody went in and tried to pre-order as many things as they could think of to get the deal. I think it was when I did that, so it was a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely forgot about it, and I talked to you. I was like, are you getting Resident Evil 2, or should I get it, or which house, or which system should I get it on? And then like the next day I got an email that was like, coming to your house is this Resident Evil 2 game you ordered. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, like Merry Christmas to myself.
Yeah.
It's like finding $10 in an old coat.
It's even better than that. It's like finding a brand new Resident Evil 2 remake in your pocket.
true. So we even right now, this podcast, we're going to be talking fast because we plan to play it, dig into it right after. We got it downloading, installing, updating right now, so it'll be ready to go when we're done.
So blabbing. Thanks for joining us on this episode. We'll see you next week.
And peace. All right, so on the radar, January 29th through February 10, the next episode cycle, and maybe Jake will be back by the time February 10 rolls around. Who knows? Could be a different man by then. Sounds like he's changing.
Right.
Really nothing on my radar, but I do know a lot of people would be interested in the Kingdom Hearts 3 that does come out on PS4 and Xbox One tomorrow, as in Tuesday, January 29th.
I've never played a Kingdom Hearts game, and I've never really had a desire to play a Kingdom Hearts game. However, my kids do love Disney, and they seem to be at like the perfect age for this kind of game.
Right.
So I might look into it.
Yeah, they have. I just watched the recent Angry Video Game Nerd episode where he talks about how confusing the chronology is.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because, I mean, it gets ridiculous, like the naming and number scheme. But there is a couple collections that sort of water it down for you and give you what you need. So look into that. I know it's on PS4 for sure.
I know. Like, if I were to buy this for my kids to play, they wouldn't care a bit about the story.
True.
They just want to play with Buzz Lightyear and whatever.
That's a good point. So maybe get them the most accessible version on an old DS or something. Or I don't even know what it's out on, but yeah. Good
also,
call.
Like, all they play right now is, like, Kindle games, like Roblox and crap like that. What? So
that
it'd be nice to...
That sounds like child abuse. Is that child abuse?
Well, that's what
give
I'm
these
saying.
Kids some games to play.
Maybe I should give them Kingdom Hearts just so they have, like, a decent quality game to play.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, so on the radar for me, I looked at the list of games coming out because there was nothing on my radar before I started looking into what we were going to talk about tonight.
Right, of course. It happens to me every time.
So I was looking at what's on the list, and I was a bunch of like, nah, 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 and then I saw this game I hadn't heard of before called The Occupation. So I Googled it, and it actually looks pretty cool. It's coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on February 5th. it you play as a reporter in like England in 1987 or something like that, and there's some sort of explosion that kills people and you're supposed to investigate it, but it's a fixed time game is what they call it. So things happen whether you're there or not. So you kind of have to manage your time and like where you go and what you investigate, because you might miss something else somewhere.
This sounds like Night Trap all over again. There's going to be people breaking through windows, stealing women right out of the house, and I'm not going to know.
But it, like, if you go watch the trailer, the character models look a little last gen, but the overall vibe of the game looks really cool. So
I might be checking
that one out.
It sounds to me like it might be something that's short, because it sounds like it has a lot of high replayability.
Yeah.
Or like maybe even necessary replayability. Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
You think it's a couch co-op ordeal?
Could be.
Yeah.
It seems like there's lots of puzzles and decisions to make, so that might be cool.
Nice, nice. Well, thanks for sharing that. I didn't know anything about that. What did we do last time?
Previously on Polykill, Jake is away on business for a full month and leaves Tram to fend for himself. So Briz takes a break from pissing and cars to once again join the podcast. Briz finished Red Dead and he and Trav completed A Way Out together. Briz and Diddles, the best rap duo on either side of any river, is featured as the topic of discussion.
And we are back, of course. Briz taking a break from pissing in cars, which harkens back, if you're wondering, to an episode of Off Kilter that Brian was on. I believe it was 15, and you should go there and check that out if you want to know more about what that's even about.
Yeah.
But you finished off Red Dead. We completed A Way Out together, and then we shared what we believe is maybe our future and our ticket to fame, Briz and Diddles.
Yeah, and I hope your listeners were kind of cool with all that. I know it's not your typical sort of things you talk about on this podcast, but it was fun to talk about, and it was fun to make those songs. So hopefully somebody somewhere enjoyed it.
I mean, as a Sunday school podcast, it was a little different. but no, I think it was good. Not a lot of people remarked about it, but they might have just been intimidated by how awesome it was.
Yeah.
You know? I think a lot of people start to clam up around celebrities, and so now that they know what we're about, they were a little afraid to come out and sort of get hands on. So
they're kind of like, we're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Right.
So
exactly.
Makes sense.
And there were, I will say, a couple listens to the songs that we posted on the website. So people were getting out there and filling their head with some good B&D.
Sweet.
All right. So games that we've completed, Briz, you got a big list here. Talk us through.
I pulled a big old Jake.
You pulled a Jake.
And I did not beat anything since Red Dead last time.
Why'd I even have you on the show? I could have had anybody. I thought, yeah. Thank God I got rid of this Jake character. He's going to go down to Big Hat, Texas, with his big hat. And finally, I'll get somebody on here that's beaten some games so we can have a discussion or two. And what'd you do?
Yeah, I played a game that you can't technically beat, Fallout, so sorry.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, welcome to the Travis segment. I'm going to be... Everybody buckle in. We're going to be talking about Golf Story, which was fun. It was fun. I told you a little bit about it. I don't know if I can add any more to it, but basically you golf to golf so you can golf while you golf in order to golf. And that's the whole point of the story. All of the quests are sort of challenges, like we need you to go do this thing, which involves some maybe a putting sequence or some kind of knock it over this tree at this angle sequence, that kind of thing, like skills test.
Right.
And then that sort of earns you the right to play a tournament at that particular golf course. And all the golf courses are cutesy. You got like a beach golf course and there's a snow golf course with a lot of wind you got to compensate for. So it finds ways to be creative and fresh. And I will say, I probably spent 20 hours in the game, which is a long time to just be golfing while you golf, so you golf while you golf.
Yeah.
But, I never really felt like it worn out its welcome until like maybe the last 40 minutes or so. I was kind of like, all right, are we finally wrapping this up? But I thought it was really good. It was actually really addictive. I like sports. I'm not a golf guy at all.
Yeah.
But this was good fun.
It's cool.
My buddy Josh, who does like golf in real life, he came down to hang out because he was announcing that he is also going to be having a baby.
Oh,
and so he got a way to come up, and we partook in some scotch and played some NES
We
do.
That's
awesome. A normal adult thing to do, right? Your buddy's going to have a kid. He comes to see you.
Yeah.
And then you drink real expensive scotch and play really old video games.
It sounds like a great day to me.
It was a fun time. We did beat Darkwing Duck. We co-opted. I mean, it's a single-player game, but you know how you do, passing the controller back and forth on each death. And yep. I tell you, man, Darkwing Duck, a lot of fun. It's part of that Capcom Disney collection in the same ilk as the Chip and Dale games and DuckTales and all those. But definitely, I think, more difficult. The last boss was for sure very hateful. But, I mean, classic, you know, Capcom platforming game from the early 90s. So it was good. And also, I finally finished Shining Soul 2. And
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I liked it better than Shining Soul 1. I did not like that game much. I stuck through to the end for some reason. I guess I thought maybe at any minute it could get good.
Right.
You know? And then like 9 hours in, I was like, I don't know if it's going to get good or not. It never did.
So then you thought, well, maybe it'll get good in the sequel.
I thought maybe. it was better. It's the same kind of game, but they cleaned up a lot of the aggravations. It is repetitive. It has, I told you about the aggravating stuff I experienced. You know, like every time you die, it's like a chore to get back on your feet.
Right,
you gotta go
yeah.
through all the menus. But, you know, after I leveled up, went through, there's like, it's one of those, it's an action RPG, but it has that classic RPG thing of like, the thing you think is the final boss just isn't.
Yeah.
There's another form, there's another boss, there's another layer, like, the boss's form, he melts down, and then he's a different dude, and then he rips off the mask, and he's a different guy, and then that guy's dad comes down, and he's actually the final boss, but no, like, that guy's actual boss is the, like, it just never would end, but I finally did finish Shining Soul 2. I mean, I definitely, it's not a game I'd recommend, but I like the Shining series a lot, and I wanted to see what Soul 2 was all about, because people said that was the best one, and it certainly is the best on the Game Boy Advance.
When you say the best one, the best out of all the Shining games?
Of the Shining Soul series, okay. Which is of two.
Did they just stop making the Shining
no.
Force games?
Well, there's not been one for a really long time, but there was the one that I really want to play is on the Sega CD. I think, or Sega Saturn. I get them confused sometimes, but it's cost prohibitive to get the real copy. I'll have to emulate it. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I wanted to bring up some. We had our New Year's resolutions here a while back, and something I've been doing for the past couple years was I wanted to play a game from each system that I own, because I feel like I have those systems sitting in there a lot. You know, I come downstairs and they're all whining and begging me to play them, and I was like, yep. Boys, I can only play one, and I kind of feel bad. So I was like, I try to make a goal to give the console some attention, and Retro Mojo took it a step further where instead of, you know, I picked five, he's like, it's a good idea, I'm going to do that for all my systems. So he listed out all of his systems, put a game near each one of them, and said, I'm going to beat a game for each system I own, which is maybe not a big deal for someone like you who's only got, you know, a few. You don't have all the portables. You got a few classic consoles. Jake, I think, only has three consoles, maybe four if you count his 3DS. But for big collectors like Mr. Mojo there,
it's a big
and myself,
list.
It gets big.
Yeah.
It gets big. So he's keeping track of that over on the forum. I think it's a cool challenge. So if anybody wants to join it, I was going to point them toward the cartridgeclub.org forums.
Are you going to join it?
I don't know, because I have sort of my own kind of goals with it, but yeah. I think it's kind of cool. So I'm going to try to do my five that I set my goals out to be, see how I do. But I think it's cool. I mean, maybe I'll try it someday.
Cool.
So I thought that was neat. All right, let's take it into the Just Beat It Shamoon. There it is. That was good. You practiced all week. That's good. Chris R. at BassGuy654, who caught them all one time, and we're not talking about Pokemon, finished Trojan, Shadow of the Ninja, and Bad Dudes on the NES, Slaughterhouse, and Dead Moon on the TurboGrafx-16. I tell you, he's a retromaniac, that Chris R. He does all the good stuff. I stay in constant contact with Chris, getting tips and tricks, and I don't know why I have a YouTube channel dedicated to the NES when he is actually the expert.
Seriously. You should make a channel about him.
That's actually a really good idea. All right, so let's get into... Oh, good job, Chris. Let's get into the rando tweets. We got three tweets here. I'll go first. Our friend Caleb J. Ross says, Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage, hashtag just beat it. That last boss fight, wow. Not hard, but much harder than the rest of the game. Definitely spiked. And, of course, he's got a good screenshot there with one of his fancy PS4 controllers he collects. Brian, I got to ask, what's the last time you encountered a difficulty spike that you were like, what the F?
Oh, Jesus. Well, this was a long time ago.
Take me back.
I play a lot of modern games that it's not really hard to beat them, you know, because you can have checkpoints and whatever. So this is a retro game that I played a few years back, Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can go fight the end boss before you're ready to.
You can fuck it right up.
Yes, and sir. I had no idea.
Yep.
So I didn't know the proper method to like get to him the right way, so I just went when I thought I was supposed to, and I got my ass destroyed. And I stopped playing the game because I didn't know what to do.
That's a real thing with Chrono Trigger. Like I played that last year, and I never knew what year to be in and who to fight where. If it wasn't for just constantly using a walkthrough to refer to, same thing.
I feel like up to that point, it was all manageable. You know, you're just walking around the maps, smacking stuff, and it's all good. But then,
You can actually do the same thing with Demon's Crest, a game that's in the Gargoyle's Quest lineage. There, it's on the Super Nintendo. I played it a couple years ago. I really wanted that game because it's so beautiful and it's kind of metal. Like it's dragons and heavy and fire. But one thing it does that, you know, it unlocks the ability for you to fight the last boss pretty early in the game, like after an hour. But it's so prominent on the screen when it happens, like on the map, that you think that's the place you should go. But really it's telling you like this is the place you want to work up to go.
Right.
So you don't even look anywhere else. You just keep trying this one thing. And you can actually beat it and get a bad ending. It's like, oh, you loser, you didn't get all the stones or something before you beat me, so... Yeah, that's kind of an asshole thing to do. Yeah, I agree.
I like in games like Breath of the Wild where they're like, see that really dangerous-looking castle over there? Don't go there yet.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet.
All right. So, next up we have Ryan at Cap Maximum says, 2 beats in 1 day, just finished Earthbound on the right, went on to beat Darius Twins on the left, regarding the picture that he posted. Good games. Just beat it.
Nice, yes. And I got to ask you, Brian, what's the last time you beat it twice in 1 day? Beating video games in 1 day.
Probably never. Really? I don't think I've ever beat 2 games in 1 day.
I have a few times, usually older games.
The ones that take you like half an hour to 2 hours to beat.
Yeah, that or sometimes I'll be really close to the end of one game and I'll beat it.
Oh,
kind of like what he did here. He was close to the end of Earthbound and then followed up with a shorter game, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I have ever.
Man, that's crazy.
I know.
I'm going to have to do that one day.
I need like an achievement unlock for doing that.
I got to tell you, I usually sleep better after 2 good beats. I will say that. All right, our last one here, another Ryan, Rocket Sauce at It's Rocket Sauce. P for Power Blade, hashtag just beat it. Didn't know if I would be able to beat that final boss's second form. Then I discovered I had an item that can refill my health. No manual. Slashy face. Anyways, great tunes and gameplay. Bring on the next game in my CCABC as I continue my quest through the NES. And so what Ryan is doing here, similar to what Retro Mojo's doing, Ryan is trying to beat a different NES game for every letter of the alphabet this year.
Okay.
And so he did P for Power Blade, one of my favorites. Had Ryan known that he could refill his health, he might have enjoyed that game a lot more.
It sounds like one of those situations where you like find the potion or whatever, and you just keep it tucked away for, you know, there's going to be a point where I'm going to need this, and you never ever use it, and then you just forget about it.
Can you imagine what your Skyrim character would look like if it would show how many potions you're carrying on him as he's walking around?
It'd just be like glass everywhere, just clinking.
Yeah, he'd be like just a giant, you know, wagon in the West. I like that tweet because a similar thing happened to me playing Final Fantasy II, in that I didn't know that you could heal your whole party at once. So what I was doing, I made it to the final boss not knowing this.
Dude.
I was trying to heal one person at a time, and it's a weird button combination. You have to use the Super Nintendo has L and R buttons. But, like, what uses it besides, like, Contra and the top-down thing? And very few games utilize it.
Yep.
And I don't think Final Fantasy utilized it except for this one thing where you get to that menu and you hit, like, the L and R buttons and it slides it over and it highlights all three characters.
Oh.
I had to learn that the hard way.
It should be something obvious, like Cure and Cure All.
I know. That would have... And I think maybe from then on they started doing that, but all right.
Alrighty. Caltech is making robots and shit. We at Caltech are starting to specialize in autonomous systems for agriculture problems. Some projects we've worked on in the past include assisting Virginia Tech in an international robotics competition in Abu Dhabi, consulting on an emergency medical software communication system used in emerging countries, and helping Travis beat Double Dragon 2.
Hey, yay!
There is no software development project too big or too small. Drop Cowtech a line at info@cowden.tech if you're interested in working together or curious to learn more. That is info@cowden.tech.
And thank you, Cowtech, even though you never listen. Hey guys, if you like what you're hearing so far, and we can only hope that you do, you can find everything we do posted a couple weeks late over at polykill.com. You can also search Polykill Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube to find us there. Reach out to us on the forums, please. We'd love to hear from you. CartridgeClub.org, the games of the month. Now, the month is wrapping up, but the games for the month, for the remainder of January, are Shantae, Half Genie Hero, and for the portable is the Game Boy Color Shantae, which I hear you might want to emulate. It's very expensive.
That's a whole lot of Shantae.
Shantae. It's probably the last time I'm going to get to do it. Let me do it one more time. Shantae. Everybody's welcome. All right. Drop us a line. Ask us a question. Share an idea at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. You know, Brian, no one ever emails us. So, guys, just literally drop us a line. I don't know what that means, but go to that email address.
Yeah.
And do what you think dropping a line is and send it to us.
Next time you're thinking of like that next clever tweet you should send out, just put it in an email to Polykill
instead.
So
I can use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, only one person has ever sent us an email, and it was somebody that, you know, I don't recognize from Twitter, and it was about an episode a long time ago, and they accused Jake of virtue signaling in an episode.
Oh, shit.
And I didn't know what that means. And I was jealous. I was like, why does Jake get all the compliments? Like, I was probably trying to virtue signal, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So really, get in there and send us something nice. Please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use. And then back to the ground game. So what I found out, Briz, you know, last time we had everybody get their friends involved, we said that might double, because our goal was to double. And we said if everybody told a friend to listen, that would double it. Well, without Jake, everything here's tanked. I mean, the place, the studio is currently on fire. I'm not wearing any shoes. Like, it's a mess.
Yeah, they probably told their friend, hey, I know this great podcast, but one of the cool hosts is gone, and so now it's kind of shit, so don't listen to it.
I know. Like, we got this fucking car pisser on here, and we don't like him. No.
Never going to live that down.
I think it's amazing, actually. It's like your Ozzy Osbourne biting a head off a bat.
That's true.
It's pretty cool. But now, what we need to do, guys, and I was thinking about this now, Briz, where do you get your hair cut?
Typically Sports Clips.
Sports Clips. They line you up in front of the Sports Center and cut away. See, now Jake and I, we cut our own hair because we don't trust barbers. It's something that's been instilled in us for a long time. We know that they're kind of like, you know, your Google devices. They're just stealing your information and they're going, they're ratting you out to the government.
That's why they ask all those questions, huh?
It is. But I think what, you know, there are probably some good barbers out there. If you've known your barber for a while, especially, I find that going to get my hair cut in places like that is awkward. It's a lot of conversation I don't care about, you know? So maybe what you need to do is just bring up the podcast first thing. Like, hey, do you listen to podcasts? I do. I know I sure do.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell them about Polykill. And I think it'll smooth it over. It'll make it more comfortable for you. And they'll get something out of it, too.
You won't have to struggle to come up like with what you should say next. You could just talk about Travis and Jake.
I think it's genius, in fact. But no, seriously, I don't trust barbers. All right. So, Brian, take it away. What you been working on?
All right. So, I went on vacation, like you said, for a few days. And since I was away from all my gaming hardware and all I had with me was a rinky-dink laptop, I was playing quite a bit of Fallout Shelter.
Yeah. So, tell me, how is 2016? Is it still okay?
Yeah. Well, I'm in this like Fallout zone right now.
You're the only person in the world right now that's played honestly the only person in the world that's fired up both of those games in the same week.
Probably. But I don't know why. It's just I love Fallout and I couldn't play 76.
You don't have to defend yourself.
Well, I haven't played Fallout Shelter in a while. Let's just load that up and see what's going on with that. And so, you know, it's the same as it was 2 years ago or whatever, but...
So some guy you sent out in the wasteland had been gone for 700 days. Yeah. He came back with 900 pistols.
He died somewhere along the way, but yeah, he had like 500 jackets and 12 guns and stuff, so it was a good time waster. How about you?
It really is a good time waster because I played that game. It was going to be like a game I played for like a little bit before bed one time.
Yeah.
And for like 2 months, I was obsessed with it. I don't even think I ever brought it up on the podcast because I knew Jake would judge me. You know how Jake is.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't even mention a movie around Jake without him mm-hmm. snobbing at you, you know. Bless his heart. He's down in Big Hat. But, you know, I couldn't get away from it. So I definitely get it. I get the hook. I wish it were, I don't know. I think it's missing something, but I like it.
I think it has a little too much of that mobile game monetization where it makes you wait for things unless you buy the Nuka-Cola or whatever. So that can get really annoying when you're just kind of like sitting there waiting for something to happen. So yeah, it's not the best thing ever, but you know, it satisfied me while I was on vacation and not able to play anything else.
You had your Switch. You could have been breathing in the wild.
Well, I did play some of that as well.
Oh, okay.
I was going to talk about that after you kind of brought it up, but...
Okay, so you played some Fallout Shelter. You played some Fallout 76.
Yep, yep.
Okay, so I jumped back into Breath of the Wild because I, you know, I think I finished Golf Story like the day we recorded the last time.
Oh, nice.
So and that was the only other Switch game I'd played. And so immediately switched over to Breath of the Wild, and I have now I know everybody's wanting to keep up to date on what Travis is doing in Breath of the Wild.
That's right.
But I have defeated the four guardians.
Goddamn.
I've finally done it, and I have entered the castle. I am on my way. I'm marching toward Ganon. This will be a game that I hope to beat by the next episode.
That's awesome.
It feels good. It's a big game. It's a big game. And I've spent probably 60 hours in it. I could spend so much more. There's so much of that map I look at, and there's no, you know, I can zoom in and I see there's no Korok seed. There's no shrine that I found. And I know that's a part of the map I've not even really been to. And I'm like, kind of want to go over there and see what's up.
But it's a big map.
But the other part of me is like, kind of want to go beat Ganon.
Yeah.
And I know that after I finish off Ganon, I probably won't go back to the game. It's just the way I am.
Yeah.
But there's a lot in there. And it's not like I think the game is interesting in that every corner is a little bit unpredictable. Like we talk about, you know, Fallout has a little bit of that. Well, I don't know about, I haven't played 76. I'm sure 76 has this too, but you know, you turn a corner, it could be any kind of monster, any kind of, you know, dwelling, any kind of thing you can find that has a story to it. And this is like that too. Like you can, you know, I think I've seen most of the enemies in the game, but I could turn a corner at any minute and see something I would have never expected.
Yep.
Red Dead's not like that. You know, those games that are grounded in reality aren't like that. But Breath of the Wild kind of has that, and it makes me really want to explore all of it.
So this game doesn't really have levels. You just kind of power up your hearts and your stamina, right?
Yeah.
So how many hearts do you have?
I would say between, I mean, it's hard to count them. I would say between 12 and 15.
I have 4.
Yeah, you got to get those.
I don't remember how to get them.
Oh, okay. Here's how you you defeat a shrine. You get an orb.
You get the spirit orb.
You get 4 of those.
Okay.
Go into most towns, but I think the easiest one to find is in Kakariko.
Okay. Yeah, I've been there.
You go right to the center of the town. There's like a little pond, and there's a statue in front of it. Just walk up to that statue and pray to it.
Okay.
And you can pick either a heart or an extra stamina bar. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to defeat a guardian. They'll give you a heart.
Damn.
And then the other kind of currency in the game is if you get so many Korok seeds, you go talk to this, I mean, I don't even know where this guy shows up. It's kind of randomly, but he's this big, fat thing. He looks like the Stay Puffed marshmallow guy.
Okay.
And you talk to him, give him some of your Korok seeds, and he'll give you extra spaces for weapons and stuff.
Oh, damn, I need that.
You need that. So those things are important, is to... Always, I mean, when I go anywhere, I'm looking through that periscope trying to see anything orange. Because I want to go beat shit out of it so I can get... It basically became Find Orange game for me for a long time. and that's how I got strong enough. Because I agree, at the beginning of the game, I just got my ass kicked constantly. I was just fighting with a... I had 3 hearts fighting with a limb.
Yeah.
Like a tree stick.
One
tree
hit branch. And you're dead.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it takes a little bit. But that's what I liked about it so much, is like I'm so powerful now. And well, in some aspects, like the castle is mean. But
I bet.
Going to places like early in the game that used to kick my ass, now I'm just kind of marching through. I got like a bit of a swagger. Like even the animation's a little bit different. Swinging a big one. It's nice. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I got you start with 3 hearts, and then I got a heart. I wanted to say it's like there's a little quest where you talk to this guy that turns out to be the king or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, I got that from the Quest, and then I went and started doing other stuff, and I forgot how that happened. So I have enough spirit orbs for another couple hearts or stamina things, vessels or whatever
they call
it. I
would say I focused almost exclusively on hearts because you can always get or make potions to increase your stamina briefly.
Okay.
You could do the same thing for hearts, but I never... There was never a time where I was like, man, wish I had so much more stamina as opposed to like, wish I had not died.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was going to be my next question, so I'll do that.
Yeah. I'm actually, to be honest with you, Brian, I'm a little surprised you like the game because it's not Fallout. It's not hyper-realistic like most of your stuff. It's a little cartoony. Yeah. It's Nintendo. So, I mean, what's doing it for you?
I think it is the big open world and sort of the freedom to go where you want. So I was kind of doing the same thing you did where I would just pull up the visor, whatever, and just try to find all the shrines. And then I would just try to figure out how to get to the shrines.
Right. Which is fun by itself.
And the shrines are just like puzzles.
Yeah.
So those are cool.
And some of them, if it's hard to get to them, they just take the puzzle out of the shrine and just, you just walk up and you're done. Like there's a few that at least if the shrine is hard to find, there's no puzzle in the shrine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing I think is the combat feels a little, combat isn't always the same. Like you can throw your bomb and try to blow them up, or you can wait till they're sleeping and sneak up on them and try to kill them, or you can use an explosive arrow to like start with, or you can sneak and try to get the guy that's on the perch so they don't notice you. So I appreciate that it's each combat encounter is a little bit different.
Right.
So I feel that's engaging, and then just like exploring and trying to find stuff, like the little Korok dudes. I'll just be, you know, going to get a mushroom or something, and then I'll see one of the little flowers for the Korok dudes, and so I'm like, okay, let me chase this guy.
Right.
So I feel like it's I like the exploration and just the little things you can find like that kind of keep that little breadcrumb going.
And the fact that you can, and people have overstated this 1,000 times, relate to the game, but the fact that you can climb and go anywhere is really cool. Like, there's no place that, I mean, your stamina can really prohibit you, but if you can climb it, you can get to it. And that's really cool because you see a mountain and you're like, I don't want to go around that.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I didn't really notice that about the combat, but you're right. It's not so much like, you know, clicking VATs, and it's not just, you know, using your machine gun. And because you're so weak, you really do have to kind of come up with a plan when you approach a bunch of enemies at once, especially.
I also like the little hang glider.
It's fun.
That makes getting around the map kind of fun sometimes.
Yeah.
And it also, you know, you can use it to get around some obstacles by, you know, if I climb up this little cliff here, I can jump off and then float over that thing there. And so that adds another little element of the exploration that I like.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I guess the big aggravation, and everybody has it, is the breaking weapons. That's the thing.
Yeah, I had heard that critique about the game when it first came out, and it is so true.
Yeah.
Like, make them last just twice as long and call it a day.
I will say, once you get a little further into the game, once you've taken on a bunch of enemies and done a bunch of shrines, it becomes basically a non-issue. You usually have weapons to fall back on, and you see them so often, you never really feel like one's particularly special.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really like feel compelled to hang on to it for any reason.
All right.
But then you find the Master Sword, and it doesn't break.
Right.
It will deplete its abilities for a moment if you quote unquote break it, but then it comes back. It's kind of like
it's got to regenerate or something.
Yeah.
I would say, If they didn't increase the durability of the weapons, the least they could do is make Link automatically equip the next weapon in his inventory instead of making you pause combat to go do that.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That's a good point. All right, well, I guess that does it for Breath of the Wild talk. So we talked about Fallout Shelter, which was, 2015 hot drop at an E3 or 2016? And then Breath of the Wild, and I guess Fallout 76 is the newest and shiniest thing we're talking about here. So have you had any new revelations in that?
I don't think I have too much more to say about it other than that I'm still enjoying it. I am still getting to discover new areas that I haven't been to before that have a lot of high-level stuff. I have, for the first time, donned my power armor and went into one of these nuclear blast zones. So when somebody launches a nuke on a part of the map, it creates a lot of high-level enemies within that area. And, of course, there's tons of radiation and stuff, so it's a very hostile environment. But you can get really good loot by killing legendary enemies and stuff. So I went in there one time. There was another guy about my level. We were shooting stuff. Things were going okay. And then we got to this house, and about eight of these like high-level things came out and started chasing me, and I had to hightail it out of there with my tail behind, between my legs. The second time I did it, the nuke was in a less hostile area, less high-level area, so the enemies were more my speed, and I was able to take out a bunch of legendary dudes and get a bunch of cool weapons and stuff. So I'm still enjoying it. I still hope to eventually find and kill Mothman and
that'd be cool.
Some of these other unique monsters that you don't always see. You'll like catch a glimpse of them, and then they'll run away or something. So
you should do some gameplay video for the channel. Do some. You should really sell us on it. I think a lot of people are down on it. Maybe they don't see what you're seeing.
All right, maybe I'll do that.
You should do it. By the way, I don't know if we talked about it. I think you just put it up, and I hadn't seen it yet. But the title menu video, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I appreciate that. Here's like the extremes of the responses I got. One person on YouTube, Caleb, he was like, great idea. Somebody on Reddit, what a stupid idea. So
you can always count on the Cartridge Club to be there for you.
I recognize that the idea of ranking title menus is kind of an off-the-wall idea, but that's kind of why I liked it.
Yeah,
like,
it's funny.
I could make the 1 millionth video about X game that would just get buried under everything else on YouTube about the same thing,
you need
or
to make
I can do something a little bit different.
Just make some Fortnite videos, man. Nobody's
oh, yeah.
Nobody's
no competition
doing.
There.
Nobody's doing All right, well, let's jump into what we had planned here for the Discash. But first, people want to know about you, Briz.
I'm flattered.
Some folks on the Discord, the Polykill Discord, want to know, this is from Frankie, what are your music tastes? And now, we know that you're a rap god.
That's right.
One half of a rap god.
But I do dabble in other forms of music. I am not like Jake. I don't have, like, a great sense of all these like different genres of music and like subgenres and stuff.
I think he makes most of that up.
Okay.
He's not here to defend
does
himself.
Does he just like want to impress everybody?
I think he's trolling you specifically.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
we're
it's
all
working.
In on it. Yeah.
All right. Well, generally speaking, I like classic rock. I like gangster rap.
Which go together.
I like some.
I mean, you got Aerosmith and Run DMC, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
There
perfect.
You go. Perfect marriage.
I like alternative rock, Smashing Pumpkins, Pearl Jam.
I'm right there with you. That's my sweet. I mean, let me use the word cush. That's my cushy spot.
Like if I had to nail this down to like just like what do I listen to? It's mainly Smashing Pumpkins and Pearl Jam at the moment.
You like, could not play a Stone Temple Pilots song that I couldn't just jump in and sing all the words to in the voice, you know? I'm
yeah.
right there.
I want to hear it.
Not right now. That's a Patreon exclusive. We don't have a Patreon.
Smart.
Briz, what are your favorite cars to pee in?
Basically anything where the center console is not too hard to straddle and the back seat is made of some sort of fabric that gives a nice sound.
It's all about the sound, right?
Yeah, it is. It's you got to have the comfort.
A real tight upholstery makes a nice drum.
Yeah, yeah. That, yeah. Like nice thudding sound.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. what kind of car was it? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was some old sedan.
Like a Sebring?
Like a, it was maybe. So, I have no idea. It was dark.
why do you like Bethesda so much, damn it? These are all from Frankie.
If you had asked me this earlier today, I probably wouldn't have had an answer, but I've been thinking about it this afternoon.
Did you know that the question was coming?
I saw it on the Discord chat.
Oh, oh, oh.
So my answer would be, and this might not be the perfect answer, but it's the freedom to explore an open world that feels lived in which exploration more often than not ends in discovery.
Yeah.
So
I'm behind you there.
So like there are open world games where the buildings and things like that, they feel more like a movie set where it's like, here's a stack of boxes. Here's the one that has the little sparkles on it is the one you can interact with. And when you click on it, some item magically just appears, whatever.
Which lends itself to a more detailed world, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, those, like Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Red Dead Redemption, those worlds are big and beautiful. They're gorgeous. But I feel like a lot of the infrastructure is like cardboard castles.
Yeah.
So in Bethesda games, you have like, you can find a fork. You can find a fucking plastic fork.
And that's, you know, that's what I'm after.
Yeah, it makes it, when you go to a location, it makes it feel like somebody lived there.
Mm-hmm.
Some shit went down there.
They had a lot of forks.
Yeah.
The thing that gets me, though, is there's like a giant box. Giant box. All that's in it, one onion.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but it's like, really? All these fucking boxes here, and y'all got like one onion and a spoon?
Well, you know, somebody probably came in before you and took all the good shit.
Left me a shitty onion.
They're like, I don't want the onion. I'll leave it for the next guy. And then the exploration results in discovery where, you know, you see something cool in the distance, you walk over there, and it's not just, oh, I found a building. It's like, oh, I found a building, and there's like a secret bunker, and I went down there, and I found like these notes about these people that live there, and it makes you feel like you discovered something and not like
it's
you're
a
just,
true RPG thing.
Yeah,
I get it.
Completely. And that, I don't mean to disparage these other games. I'm just trying to describe what it is about Bethesda games that makes me love them.
Yeah, I think Bethesda's more about the experience, and I mean, not to say Rockstar isn't, but in terms of the world, Rockstar and Ubisoft are really more about the setting.
It would be great to see a world with like the depth of a Bethesda game with just the amazing graphics of a Red Dead.
Would be great. Maybe one day. What's a VR experience you didn't like? Everybody knows you're a big VR guy. You got the Vive.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about Beat Saber, though. That's a big thing going around.
Beat Saber, I have not played it. So I bought sort of a precursor to Beat Saber. I can't even remember the fucking name of it, but
it was like, Audio Shield or something,
right? Audio Shield, yeah. It's like you're holding little magic shields in your hands and you punch these balls that... You punch balls that fly at your face.
As you do. Yeah. Stop afternoon.
Yeah, you do it to like the rhythm of the music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really fun, and you played it.
Yeah, I got sweaty.
Yeah, it's a good little workout, and sometimes I would go downstairs and just do a few songs.
Beat
and,
some balls.
Yeah, just punch balls.
Yeah.
I kind of got to the point where I was tired of these experiences where it's like you just go in and you do one thing, and it does that one thing really well, but there's no depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was kind of getting into like the Fallout VR and Skyrim VR, where it's like, okay, now I have these big, massive games with a lot of shit to do.
Some Doom.
So games like Beat Saber, I'm like, yeah, that looks like fun, but
Some people are really addicted to it, though.
I wasn't sure if I would stick with it for the money.
There's got to be some hook that's different than Audio Shield. It could be a better library. It could be more challenging. I always kind of felt like Audio Shield was kind of just, was it just blue and red? You just hitting two different colors.
Yeah,
this seemed like more like you could do some drum movements and.
Yeah, and Audio Shield, I think, randomly generated the, or they tried to generate the patterns based on the sound wave of the file, but it wasn't always really good.
They all felt homemade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they kind of, some parts didn't feel like they synced up really well.
Mm-hmm. Sunked is so the correct way to say it.
Oh, sorry. So you might find like a song or two was that felt really good, and then another one you were really hyped to do. It was like, this is kind of crap. So I didn't answer that question at all.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for that answer, So you just say you don't like games that are...
I've been very picky with what games I buy on VR because I spent so much money on VR, I didn't want to just like buy everything that came out because I was already kind of broke.
You got mouths to feed.
So I can't say that I have really disliked anything that I bought. there's been several things like freebies that I downloaded that I hated because they did like a VR no-no, like moving the camera independently of your head. Like I played this one game. It was like a Tron light bike game. You know what that is?
I know what Tron and I know what a light bike is.
So you're riding the light bike mm-hmm. and there's another body.
You're Jeff Bridges.
Another person driving the bike and you like try to like steer in front of them and make them hit your little
You're basically the laser bad snake
shield. Yeah. But what happened was when you turned in that game, it would lean your camera like 45 degrees to the side, even though you're not moving your head. So basically it just looked like the whole world shifted 45 degrees. So that shit would make me sick real quick.
Yeah.
So stuff like that I didn't like, but I can't really say there's any like big games that I've actually bought.
So truthfully, the shittier unknown ones are just the bad ones that you don't like, the ones that didn't get it quite right.
Yeah, and there are some that I liked that I just got over.
Gotcha. Moving on, what's it like sharing a PS4? Are there custody fights? So for those of you that don't know, Brian and I do share a PS4. It's been in my place for a long time, actually.
Yeah.
But I think it's been going well. We typically, you know, you'll give me a heads up like, hey, I want to play this game that's coming out, and then I'll pack it up and send it back over. The big game I played for a long time was Persona 5, and then you wanted to play God of War.
Yep.
And I was like, I haven't beat Persona 5. I'm kind of burnt out on it. Just go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
Get God of War down you. You played Spider-Man. When you got done, you gave it to me. I played Spider-Man. So it's been kind of harmonious. There's never really been a time where it's like, damn, we wanted it at the same time kind of thing.
Yeah, I think both of us are fairly patient with our games.
So I certainly am, yeah.
Like, you've been kind of done with Petey, the PS4, for a couple months.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, I'll let you know if I feel like playing it.
Right.
There's just, I've had so many other things to play between my Xbox, Switch, and PC that there's not a real need to have him around all the time.
Just waiting for those exclusives, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because we get mainly anything that's non-exclusive, we'll probably get on the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's a good exclusive, we'll get it on the PS4 and swap it around.
Yeah, so joint custody is smooth sailing, I'd say.
It is. It's good, I would say. All right, let's wrap the show up with a discussion about cold-ass games. Brian, it's been cold out. So you went to Florida, and you remarked that I saw a tweet. You were down in Orlando, and we all know Florida's supposed to be hot. I was in Orlando one time, and it was maybe the hottest experience I've ever had. So,
yeah.
But you said it was cold there.
Yeah, we checked the weather before we left, and it looked like it was going to be mostly in the 70s. There might be a day when it was in the 60s, so I'm like, I'll bring jeans and a jacket and some t-shirts, and that'll probably be good enough. But it got down into the 30s on one day.
And everybody but you in Florida died, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, and we had to be at this soccer tournament at like 8 o'clock in the morning, so it's the sun hasn't had time to come up and warm everything up, and it's all windy out on these soccer fields, so we had to buy some blankets and stuff while we were there just to make it through, but I heard it was even worse here.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that. I was hoping you'd get done with Florida so we could talk about how fucking cold it was here. Yeah, cold. I mean, it's just stupid cold. But then I heard our friend Musty Hobbit over at the Second Breakfast YouTube channel, more active on Twitter these days as just regular old Musty Hobbit. He lives in lovely, flat as hell, corn-ridden Iowa, and he said the wind chill factor for tomorrow is negative 40. Now, I thought, I was like, come on. We're like, you know, I know what latitude we're near. It's not negative 40 cold.
Yeah.
But evidently, it gets cold in Iowa and other places. So I guess I'm happy that it was only a meager 29 degrees here.
Yeah, we should stop complaining, apparently.
I know, right? Negative 40. I don't even know how does a civilization
Wouldn't
exist?
Wouldn't your eyeballs freeze as soon as you walked outside?
How do you make it through one fucking winter? Like, think about it. That place settled probably in the 1700s.
Yeah.
How the hell did they make it through one winter?
I don't
understand it.
From my extensive knowledge of the Old West from playing Red Dead, they just had rinky-dink cabins.
Yeah.
And shacks.
Yeah.
That was it.
I mean, how does an infant survive? I mean, I think about that. How does a little infant survive something like that in a rinky-dink shack?
Yeah.
How does your house not just put on a sweater, get up, and just fucking run south? Like, oh, there goes my house. It must have been too fucking cold.
I don't know, man.
Anyway, so speaking of all that, we want to talk about cold-ass games, games that just kind of make you feel cold, you know?
Sometimes you kind of like it.
I do. It's nice when it's cold out to play a cold game. Sometimes in the middle of the summer, if it's really hot, play a cold game, cool you down.
So smart.
One game that you and I played together, and I was thinking about this earlier too, and I'm full of tangents today because I have drank a lot of coffee in the last few minutes, is Colot. And I realized that I have never heard that word said. I don't think they say it in that game. And I've never heard anyone else say it, but I found that everyone pronounces that the exact same way. People look at that word and they're like, that is Colot.
That's pretty amazing.
No one calls it Caholat or whatever else it could be. Everyone just kind of is like, that. Yeah, that's how you say that word. So I thought that was fun. But anyway, Colot is a game. It's sort of, I would say, it's what do you call that? What's the walking simulator?
Yeah, that would be what most people would say. I think we had talked about maybe using first person experience.
Okay. Yeah, so and that's essentially what it is. You kind of you walk around looking for clues about what this mystery is, or sort of what happened at this particular site, and it's based on. I mean, the reason I got interested in this game at all was because I heard about this incident called. I don't know what the incident's called actually, but it was a thing that took place at the Dyatlov Pass.
Yeah,
in somewhere near Russia or the Soviet Union. In the 50s, a bunch of scientists were on an expedition. It was really cold. It was very snowy. They knew all that, but they, I don't know if they were caught in a snowstorm or something, but what turned out when their bodies were found, none of them survived, there were some suspicious circumstances too. A lot of them were unclothed, several feet from their tents. Like, it looked like they had run from something.
Yeah.
Some of their tongues were missing. And so people think, you know, was there something supernatural? Was there a big Yeti? Did Vladimir Putin chase them all down? Like, nobody really knows. Was it a werewolf?
Yeah.
And so it's a real mystery. It's a true mystery. And then they sort of took that story and applied it to a game and sort of made a creepy, snowy game.
Yeah, I would say that the game doesn't incorporate those events as much as I would have liked it to.
I agree.
The synopsis of the game is you are there trying to find somebody who was investigating the disappearance of these people. So you're all alone in the middle of snowy Russia, and the wind is howling, and it's nothing but snow and rocks everywhere. And
the sound of wind.
Yeah, and there
it's very quiet.
There are times when there's like big heavy snowfall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no NPCs or anything around to like talk to or break the silence or anything. So you're mainly walking through snow and
it's very
these
lonely
mountain passes with just this howling wind, and it does feel really cold.
It feels cold. And one thing about the game that I think is amazing, and it makes me think of Gone Home, is that it's an experience that truly has hardly any horror or scary aspect legitimately to it other than the music.
Yeah.
And like the music will make a sound or slow down or speed up, and the hair on your spine will just kind of instinctively, if you have a hairy spine like I do anyway, will just sort of pick up. And I don't know what evolutionary trait that's for. I don't know if that,
yeah.
I think that's wind resistance. That slows me down in a fight or flight scenario, but mine will just perk right up. And it happened several times, and it would end up being a no big deal scenario.
Yeah.
But that music would just get you. And I was on the edge of my seat, and it was actually like really intense. But like you said, you don't really, you're just kind of following these notes left behind. And
yep.
I guess there's some mild puzzling. I can't remember. But it's very cold, very lonely, and very spooky.
One of the aspects of the game that was kind of puzzly was just finding your way around the map. Because you have this map that's kind of realistic in that it doesn't show you where you are.
Right, there's no like paths or anything either.
Yeah, you have to kind of look at your surroundings, try to figure out where you are to get your bearings, and then you think you know where you're going, and then you pull up your map and you try to figure out where you are again.
Right.
So half the game was us just trying to figure out how to get to where we wanted to go.
And you getting lost because of that bad map, I think, is part of the game. I really think they wanted you to be a little bit disoriented, and it works. It's very effective.
Now, I did like that.
I can definitely get why a lot of people wouldn't enjoy a game like this, because it does, I mean, it lacks a lot of action. The payoff, I think, is minimal.
Yeah.
But the experience, especially I don't really know if I'd have enjoyed it as much playing it by myself. I might have gotten impatient with it.
Yeah.
But sticking through with a buddy and passing the controller around and enjoying a lot of what was spooky about it made it really good.
I agree.
How cold was it? On a scale of where's my nuts to there's my nuts.
I would say it is a, man, I'm shriveled.
Yeah. I mean, it looked cold.
Yeah.
It was very windy.
I actually went and... Because we played this game a long time ago. It's been like at least a year.
Definitely,
right?
Yeah, at least a year.
I went and watched a YouTube video of it just to kind of refresh my memory. And it is like seriously nothing but howling wind and snow. So it definitely feels cold.
Yeah, yeah. And it's crazy what those sound effects will do. Even as you sit on a warm couch in someone's basement.
Yeah.
You kind of like, you know, put your hoodie back on. All right, so now what about a long, is it a long dark or the long dark?
It's the long dark.
Now we can get the joke out of the way. It looks like a long dick. All right, we'll just, yeah. Yada, 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 yada. All right. Big old long dark. So you've put a little time into this, yeah?
Yeah, there's two modes to this game. You can do just the straight up survival mode where it's basically you are set loose in this map and you basically just try to survive. And it's hunger, thirst, cold. Like, you're just fighting the elements, and there's scarce resources, so you have to be really careful about... you have to tend to things like if your clothes are wet, or how many layers of clothes you have on, and stuff like that. So, and then there's the story mode, which is kind of the same thing, but there's a mission where you're looking for this person that... you were on a plane with and you crashed and you woke up and she wasn't there and you're trying to find her. And there are NPCs that you can come across to talk to and they'll give you little quests to do.
But how are the NPCs getting by, you know? What are they doing?
Well, so far they've only released two of the planned five episodes. So there's not a resolution to this that I know yet. My personal... prediction, potential spoiler if I'm right, if you plan on playing the long dark story mode.
I don't think it counts if you guess 5 years out. These episodes have been releasing pretty slow.
I'm kind of thinking that this guy died in the plane crash and he's in a sort of purgatory.
This is a regular old Matthew Fox Lost situation.
Yeah, and I'm thinking these other people that are there are kind of in the same situation because...
Evangeline Lilly, Sawyer, the whole gang.
Yeah, they kind of have their own problems. So I'm calling it now. So when they finally release fifth episode in, you know, 2028, we'll have to listen to this and see if I was right.
All right, well, we will. We'll somehow mark the episode to know that we talked about this here.
But to kind of get back on topic, it is, yeah, it takes place in snowy Northland somewhere, and it's all, like, cold and...
Yeah.
Well, that was a good sentence.
Yeah. We are talking about cold games, Brian.
Yeah.
But what, I mean, is it windy? How deep is the snow?
They have really good snow walking sound effects. Yeah, that nice crunch.
Yeah. Now, our Canadian brethren might correct us and be like, it's not quite perfect.
Maybe, yeah. You know, maybe it's somebody that lives it every day.
We get 1 3-inch snow a year, and we're proud of it.
And so, since this is... So, Colot, you know, it's more of a... story exploration sort of thing, mm-hmm. or uncovering something. This one, since it is survival, your character will get cold and he'll act cold. So he'll shiver and you can see his breath and he'll actually like say things like, oh, I better find shelter soon or something like that.
Right.
And his teeth will chatter and stuff. So
no long dick on that guy. We can agree.
Nah. No. So, you know, you're out. And you have enough supplies to maybe make it to the next cabin you find. And
so you're just cabin hopping.
Yeah, and the guy is like, you know, all your hunger and your thirst and your cold are going crazy. And it's like, you know, danger of hypothermia. So I'd say it's a pretty fucking cold game.
Yeah, it's a where's my nuts game, I think.
Yeah, I think it is.
I was wondering if you said there is a mode where you just survive and you try to see how long you make it. There's no end game to that mode. You just roll on?
I don't think so. I think there's maybe an achievement for making it 100 days or something.
I would consider that beating that mode because I'm curious, yeah. Like, what's the incentive? Because I want to be able to survive so long in the game that the helicopter finally comes or some payoff. I want that.
That would be amazing. Like, you know? If there's, like, this secret ending if you make it long enough.
Like, that'd be great. I think that would really entice me to play it because I have been intrigued by this game for a long time because I like the idea of a game predicated on survival with that sort of level of detail. And there's been a ton of them out there. I think you and I played Rust for a little bit and
yeah.
You know, all those games, DayZ, all that. But this kind of had a neat feel to it in that, you know, there's something about the cold, eerie winter that's different.
Yeah. In some of those other games, you're not just like, you know, making sure you have enough meat to eat, but you're surviving other people too.
Right. Which is fun, but it's not this.
It can also be really frustrating.
Frustrating, yeah.
So yeah, this is just you versus the environment. So it kind of has that
regular old Bear Grylls.
That solitary.
Can you pee on your foot?
I don't think so.
Nah.
I don't know. It's, you know, it's very quiet, you know. There's not a lot of music to it. So it's just kind of hiking through the snow and making sure
crunch.
You don't die. I don't know.
That seems pretty cool to me. Yeah.
I'm sure, like, not everybody would like it, and I'm sure it would wear thin after a certain amount of time, but...
Well, looking to see where these episodes go, I mean, that can make it worth it.
Yeah. The episodes are fairly long, too. That I haven't done the survival mode at all. I've only done the episodes.
Oh.
And I'm estimating I've probably played like 30 hours or something.
Really? Just in an episodic game?
Yeah.
What the
Because it's mostly about surviving
right.
and finding things that you need to survive. So, you know, I might have plans to go to this area that this guy said I should go to. I get halfway there. I run out of material to make a campfire. I'm starting to freeze to death. I got to find the closest thing, the closest shelter I can find. So then I go there. So now my goal is, well, I got to survive the night, and then I got to find some firewood so I can warm back up. So you kind of get derailed from your main goal.
That's neat, though. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's sort of like my fascination with hiking and doing, like, especially long hikes, where certainly I'm probably not in a position where I need to survive like that. But I kind of like the idea of being left to sort of what you have on you and what nature provides.
Yeah.
I think that's neat. Oh, man, I forgot a thing I was going to say earlier. That's colada snow. All right.
Well, you're a little late on that.
Yeah, no. I forgot all about it. All right. So the last three here, everyone's pretty familiar with. We're going to kick it off with Skyrim. Brian,
yeah, boy.
You've played Skyrim. Well, you've beaten Skyrim one time, but how many times have you started Skyrim?
I have started Skyrim probably
60.
It's not quite that bad. I would say realistically, maybe 10 times.
So do you like Skyrim or do you like creating a character?
I like...
Or naming characters.
Well, I like the game, of course, but I like trying out different play styles because, you know, in that game you could be the sneaky archer or the mage or the, you know, guy with the big... hammer or the guy with the sword and shield. And what happens is I'll be playing as one thing and then I'll like come across a NPC or something that has like this really cool heavy armor and like a sword and I'm playing like the leather clad archer. I'm like, man, it'd be really cool to have that armor and that sword. So I get the itch. Now, I know when you played, you kind of had the same idea, but you just kind of like mentally said, oh, well, my character...
I excused everything, yeah.
...is now deciding to do this instead or whatever.
Right, I did all the mean quests first. My guy's name, I'll never forget, Adabox Skymolder.
That is such a good name.
It's a great name. Okay, very proud of that. He kind of almost sounds like a Star Wars character, but,
yeah.
But he was definitely a Skyrim character. And I did the Thieves Guild and the Dark Brotherhood right off the bat.
Yeah.
Because I was already a prisoner.
Right.
And even though I got saved, that didn't change me. I was still...
You're a fugitive.
Absolutely. And then I sort of melded in the good. I do like the Fighters Guild or whatever the other guilds are and eventually beat the game as a hero.
Yeah.
And so I had an arc so that I could do everything in the game in one playthrough and not feel like I was violating my character's credo.
And that's very smart.
I agree.
My problem is when, like, if I'm making a stealthy archer, I want to pick, like, a human or like an elf or something. But if I'm making like a barbarian, I want to pick like a Nord or an orc. Mm-hmm. I kind of want my character to reflect the thing
that
I'm
trying
to be.
That's class appropriation, and it seems racist.
So, and also, like in my first character, I was basically a dual sword wielding dude.
That's what you called that one?
Well, it's not what I set out to be, but it's what I became. But then, say I want to start using the bow. Well, I'm really good at swords at this point. So when I shoot something with an arrow and it doesn't do any damage and it runs up in my face, well, I just switch back to swords and kill it.
Right.
So I have a hard time like making that transition with the same character. So I just start a new one.
Now, did you beat the game just once? But you started it several times and experienced it.
Yeah, I did. I beat the main quest line just once.
So you started it, let's say, 25 times and beat it once. And my wife started it twice and beat it twice. So she's batting 1,000. And you're batting whatever that fraction from earlier was.
Way worse than 1,000.
So how cold is this damn game?
I think it is, on a scale of to where's my nuts to there's my nuts, I'd say it's a...
There's a little bit of a nut?
Yeah.
I can see some nut?
There's some nut there.
Yeah, for sure.
I think there are parts of the game that definitely are where's my nuts, like when you go up to High Hrothgar.
Yeah, or Winterhold, that area.
Yeah, definitely Winterhold. It's like, holy shit, how do people live here? Like,
it does feel colder. Again, it's like, is this Iowa?
Exactly. And something that I did to kind of enhance the cold, when I played Skyrim VR, I was playing in my basement that is naturally kind of cooler than the rest of my house. And instead of, putting on a hoodie and sweatpants to play this game, I was wearing T-shirts and basketball shorts, and I turned on a fan. So I was getting like the cold air blowing on me.
Right.
So then, you're standing up at High Hrothgar, and in the game, the wind is blowing, right, and the snow's blowing, and then you'd feel like the gust of wind from the fan.
But to your wife, it looks like you couldn't find your laundry.
Yeah.
She's looking at you like, what in the hell are you doing wearing my thong?
Yeah.
And my sports bra. Flailing around in our living room.
But it really enhanced the experience, I think.
It usually does. That is funny. That is funny. I would say this game is not as cold as, certainly not as cold as The Long Dark.
Yeah.
Maybe as cold as Kolot. And it's,
in parts.
I think it's because your Skyrim character is never damaged by cold. Is that right?
That's correct.
And he never reacts to the cold.
Never.
Or he or she.
You could take off all your armor and clothing and go up the mountain and nothing bad happens.
Right. So that's why I think it's A Long Dark is still the coldest so far.
Yeah, it makes you feel the cold with how your character reacts to it.
Yeah. Would you say it's colder than Kolot?
Skyrim?
Mm-hmm.
I would say no.
Kolot's
really
cold. I think because
Kolot is like all snow and ice. And there's some like,
and you're not
caves
really empowered
and bunkers
in Kolot.
Like,
you feel like you're weak.
Yeah.
And probably chilly.
And like your only base is like a rundown tent in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Where in Skyrim, you can
shack up with Lydia downtown.
House. Yeah. You got some torches and stuff in there.
Yeah. You can get some melted cheese wheels and stick them on your feet and kick back and just
beat the snow.
Yeah. Beat the snow. What about Breath of the Wild? You deal with snow. Starting out in the game, you're very susceptible to cold. You have to actually cook a potion with some hot peppers.
Yep. Hot pepper.
Is that a thing?
That's a Teen Titans Go thing.
Okay.
There's a whole episode where they eat peppers.
Didn't know you were a fan. You have kids.
It's good.
Okay. That's one way to fight the cold. And I will say later in the game, you come across some people that are selling some stuff to where you don't have to cook anymore. So
right. That's
nice. You don't have to worry about it as much. But you do have a cold meter, and you can freeze to death. And I tell you, Link, I can put him in some skimpy outfits, and sometimes when he isn't even reacting to the cold, I'm like, bro, it's cold. Yeah, put some on.
I went up to, in the beginning of the game, there's like the shrines that are all, like three shrines that are all pretty close to where you start, and one of them's, or two of them, I think, are on top of the mountain, and I just strolled up there like I was king of the world the first time.
You were playing Skyrim, probably.
And then, Link kind of hunches over, and he starts shivering, and your health starts going away. I'm like, holy shit, what's going on? And then I saw, like, figured out the cold meter and stuff, so I ran away. Came back once I figured out the hot pepper thing, but I think that game does a good job of kind of making you feel the cold too. Like when you go into the inventory menu and Link's sitting there shivering and stuff.
Yeah, you're like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
My bad.
Yeah. That game is definitely cold. I won't say it gets any colder. I mean, I think what you see there at the beginning, just a little bit of snow, is as cold as it really ever feels.
Yeah.
I don't think this... I can't think of a spot where the snow gets bigger or the wind picks up. I mean, maybe.
It's mostly just, like, if you're in a high elevation, it's going to be cold.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to rack my brain. I think there are times, though, where sometimes I think the more desolate a place is and snowy, the colder it feels. Because there is, like, a tundra up north where it's just this flat open expanse. It feels maybe a little windier, like you're on a frozen pond almost.
Okay.
And just something about that, just it's so barren. There's nowhere you can take cover.
Mm-hmm.
You feel vulnerable to the wind and the elements. I would say this game is certainly colder than Skyrim. I would put it above Kolot. I still don't think it's quite a Long Dark cold.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, how many hot peppers can you cook up in a Long Dark to beat the elements, you know?
And, you know, when you cook those hot peppers, it's so entertaining. Like, they hop around the pot.
They can't wait to get in you and warm you up, that's for sure. You can also shield surf down snowy mountains. Have you done shield surfing yet?
I have not done this. I don't know how to do this. Do you
drop
your shield or something?
Well, I don't know. So there's some guy you meet that tells you how to do it, but I don't know if you can do it before that.
Okay.
But essentially, you pull out your shield, you jump in the air. So you hold in one of the left triggers for shielding. It's literally the left trigger. You jump with Y, and then you push A, and he jumps on it.
Okay.
That's all you do. But I don't know if that you can do that out of the gate. You might have to go talk to this guy who's down by a river.
Yeah.
So
I'll try it next time and see if it works.
Yeah, it's fun. It's actually really fun to do. If you're at the top of a mountain and gliding is always the funnest thing to
do. It sounds like it might be the safest too. I've seen some GIFs on Reddit of people trying to shield surf and ending badly.
It can end badly. Yes. Yes, indeed. So Breath of the Wild, we're saying pretty cold. We're saying it's not quite a Long Dark cold, but colder
than
Skyrim.
There's lots of warm areas in between the cold.
True.
To kind of.
Yeah, there's definitely a very hot desert, in fact. Mm. All right, and that takes us into Red Dead, which sort of like Breath of the Wild, just has some snowy parts of the map.
Mm-hmm.
It starts you out in several feet of snow.
Yep.
It might be the deepest snow here. I don't know about a Long Dark. What would you say between the...
Long Dark does not have that sort of three-dimensional snow that Red Dead has. So there, you can see your footprints or whatever, but they're just kind of like shaders on the texture or whatever.
And probably disappear after a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Red Dead definitely takes the cake in terms of like
physics.
Depth. Yeah, and physics.
The first time I could move in the game. So you start the game out, you're meeting people, they're kind of talking. I think you have to follow people on a path or whatever.
Yeah.
But the first time I could break away and do my own thing was right in front of this house where first thing you do, I think, is you get in a shootout in front of this house.
Mm-hmm.
While my guy was like, all right, go get in position, first thing I did, traced a big dick in the snow. First thing I did. Can you imagine a heist where a guy, like, maybe he's OCD and he has to trace a dick?
I'm like, wait a minute, Dutch. I just got to finish this off real quick.
Gotta finish off this dick. I took a screenshot and everything. I was so proud. I was like, and it was really just a showcase of, look at these. Finally, my tracks stay in a game. That's really cool. I don't know how
impressive.
Long. I don't know if that, I should go back up that mountain and see if my dick's still there. But
that would be really impressive.
That would be impressive because that was several hours ago in the game. But there is a little more snow. You do have to go in high elevations. You move very slow, which kind of gives you the feel that you're really burned by this weather, which I think is very realistic. Something that I think the other games, aside from maybe a Long Dark, don't have. The rest of them, you're kind of fleet-footed in the snow.
Yeah, and in Red Dead, there are negative effects to being cold, too, right?
True. Yeah, you need to have the right apparel.
Yeah, like if you're wearing warm enough clothes, I don't think it makes a difference, but if you're not, I think it eats away at your like stamina and health core or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never really had those effects take hold of me. It feels like you really have to be out there a while before you start to feel it.
Okay.
But at least to me, you know, maybe I wasn't in the coldest area. But I would say at its coldest, Red Dead, still not as bad as, I think you die faster for sure in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Down the elements.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you can't stay in the cold for, like, more than 5 minutes in Breath of the Wild.
But I still think Along Dark, you're still too vulnerable, and I think it's colder.
Yep.
I think it's just the coldest game.
And in Red Dead, you start in this big snowy area, but for me personally, I got warmer the further the game went on. I just kept going south.
Kept going south.
And yeah, I was in the swamps, yeah.
Yeah, try to get away from the snow for sure. So yeah, so those are our cold games. I think if we had to rank them, and it seems like you're agreeing with me, I think we go Along Dark for the coldest for sure.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild second, because of the how fast you die.
Yeah.
When you're not covered up.
Serious effects of the cold.
Red Dead for its snow physics, and it can still hurt you after some time.
Yep.
Then Kolot, because it feels the coldest even though you don't get damage from it.
Yeah, I think mainly because other than...
Actually, I might put Kolot above a Red Dead.
Yeah, in Kolot, basically the entire game is the cold, snowy area. Whereas all these other games, it's like there's the cold area, but then you can find reprieve somewhere else.
Sure.
So I would bump it up for that reason.
I agree. And then, of course, Skyrim, I guess, last. You take no damage from it. It's very snowy, very pretty, but...
yeah.
And it feels cold at times.
Mm-hmm.
Just not as cold as these other games.
I agree.
All right, man.
I like it.
I think that does it for talking about cold games. I'm actually a little bit chilly in here now.
Yeah, man. Let's go start a fire.
Yeah. Actually,
or
play some Resident Evil 2 is what
right.
we should do. That'll get real hot.
We'll start hugging each other. Get that body heat.
I don't know. All right. Yeah, I guess I signed up for that. All right, everybody. Well, stay warm out there. Follow us on at Polykill for the podcast. I'm at Trav Plays Games.
I'm at Hokey Briz.
And we'll catch you next time.
Peace.